Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The College Football Show, presented by Bud Light. For the next hour, we'll have special guests and get you caught up on Eagles football. The Boston College Football Show is presented by Bud Light. Crisp. Please enjoy responsibly. And also sponsored by McGovern Auto Group, the official auto group of Boston College Athletics. Now it's time to talk BC football. Along with head coach Steve Adazio, here's John Meter-Perrell.
And happy Monday, everybody. Welcome to Donahue's in Watertown. Great to have you with us for the BC Football Show with Pete Cronin, the old linebacker. I'm John Meter-Perrell, joined as always by the coach, Steve Adazio. The Eagles were gritty. They were gutty. They played a terrific game against Wake Forest, despite the result, as they fell to the Demon Deacons 27-24. Coach, I think it was indicative of what your team is made of. I felt like Pete and I both felt like you played very hard, and you played well. It's just a matter of that final three-point margin and the margin of defeat.
Yeah, I mean, I thought we made progress, and I thought we played, you know, a really good football game. You know, as I was telling Pete, I mean, you know, offensively we had 533 yards of offense in that game, which is a huge amount of offense, and we did it in 24 minutes. But we've got to improve in the red zone, where we have, you know, had a couple scoring opportunities that we didn't capitalize fully on. So I thought that was good. I thought on defense we played, you know, much sounder game. We still have to get off the ball and get off the field on third down. You know, I thought both third downs need to improve, our defensive third down and our offensive third down. You know, both of those third downs were a little skewed. On defense, we had a lot of third and twos. You're not going to win a lot of those. We didn't. On offense, we had four third downs that were, we knew we were taking two downs to get it, and we ended up getting it. So that shows as a non-third down conversion, but it converted on fourth down, which was what the plan was. So, but even having said that, I think we need to improve on third down, both sides of the ball, and we can't miss on these scoring opportunities because we've got to, you know, keep pace. And I'd say at 533 yards, we had 270-something rushing and 270-something throwing, and we had a bunch of seven explosives, and, you know, you'd like to have that translate to 30-plus points, and it didn't. That's about as much offense as we've ever had here, and, you know, and balanced and strong. Very strong.
Yep.
We needed obviously one more score, but, you know, at least two more scores, which were totally attainable. And I thought the other thing was, I thought we started slowly in the first quarter, but then came on like gangbusters. I mean, we played after that, we were kind of really going. So, you know, those are the things we're working on. Those are the things we have to improve upon and get ready to go down and beat Louisville.
Well, I think one thing that gets lost too, especially in a loss, is the fact that you are so explosive. You're tied for the league lead with Clemson and Florida State and Wake Forest, and plays with 30 yards plus.
Yeah.
So you've become a really explosive team that, you know, whether that's isolated or not, I think that's still a very prevalent statistic.
No, that's important. And I think we're 26th in the country in offense right now.
Right.
So, I mean, we're moving along at a pretty good clip. And we've played four Power 5 teams. We're not playing a bunch of pad-statting teams. So I think that's real. I like our improvement. I like where we are. I thought, you know, I thought we came back in two straight weeks on defense and played a very good football game. I thought we improved. We played physically tough. I was really proud of our defense, and I think We got to continue to keep improving with that young defense that we have, and I thought we saw that improvement. Is it perfect? No. And our job is to just keep working every week to keep improving the things that we need to improve upon. That's our focus. And I think the team has got a great attitude and mentality. The staff has got a great attitude and mentality. I would say we're extremely energized and extremely excited to get to practice tomorrow, if you can believe that, and to get ready to play, to go on the road and play Louisville. So there's a lot of good ball ahead of us, man, and we're excited to play it.
I was looking at that some of those Wake Forest drives, and there's a reason defenses like to, if you're going to have a drive on offense, extend to make the other guy earn it. Most teams don't have the discipline to have a 10 or a 12 or a 15 play drive without making a mistake. So credit to Wake Forest, but credit to your defense. You had a lot of third and shorts, which means they had to earn those first downs.
Right.
They weren't automatics.
So I think there was a lot of, Pete, a lot of dribble yards in there. A lot of, like, all of a sudden, you know, we're there, we're making a good hit, and they're spinning, and they're getting maybe two extra yards than they should have on each
dribble
down.
Yards, yeah.
And that's putting us into third and shorts. I'd like to see us. I think we're tackling better. I think we're playing gap control better. But I think that, you know, we got to get a little bit more knockback. We had some knockback tackles or some de-cleat tackles. And I think that we've got to put them in a little more stressful third downs. Than, you know, you don't want to be in too many third and two to threes. You want more third and six sevens.
Right.
You know, so. But, you know, they got a big, strong running quarterback and two good running backs. I mean, those were honestly like, those. I mean, if you were at the game, I think your walkaway was, those two teams were two good teams that battled each other hard. And, you know, we just got to go find a way to make the extra play to win the game.
And that's the thing that, looking back at their short history this year, they've won a couple close ones. And
yep.
You talk about teams knowing how to win. They probably had a little bit that going for them coming to this game.
Yeah, I mean, they won some games, you know, and they're a good, like I said, they're a good team. We know we battled them. We have a good team, I think. You know, like I said, there's a lot of ball here left to play. We got to go play it. And what we have to do is keep our confidence up and keep improving and getting better. And that's what you're up against in college football a little bit, you know, is just the ability to keep grinding away at it. And, you know, in this day and age you're in, you know, there's so much negativity that, you know, you got to stay above the line, and you just got to believe in who you are and what you're about, you know. And that's and I think our kids have a great mentality. I really do. I know they do. So
you're going into midseason, week six, the immortal words of Bob Seger: turn the page. Next, regardless of the outcome of Saturday's game,
yeah, we play Louisville on Saturday.
You're gonna roll to the next one, right?
Listen, I come in here on Monday with you guys, and we talk about it because this is a radio show, but. All I can tell you is I've long gone on to Louisville.
Got
so,
it.
Like, you know, I mean, and that's the way it has to be for all the reasons that you know it has to be that way. And, you know, people sometimes, you know, I have friends that will grab me and call me and they want to go rehash the game. I'm like, you know, really, I don't have the time for that. I just don't. I mean, I got so much work to do. And we start our walkthrough with our team at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning. I mean, I got in this morning, and this is not like, oh, woe was me, but I'm just saying, I did not leave the offensive staff room from 10 minutes of 7 this morning until 30 seconds before I left to come here, okay? I mean, didn't leave, other than to go to the bathroom for a couple minutes. I mean, that was it. Ate there, sat there, and everybody on the staff did. So I'm like, I don't have, so like, you know, you take a call, you got a good friend or someone call you. I mean, everybody's good intentioned, but you're like,
Is that why you didn't pick the phone up when I called?
Yeah. When I see your number, it's blocked.
Blocked anyway. Well, one of the other things, though, is there's no preseason. Here we are, mid-season. You've kind of talked about it.
Yeah.
But what do you know about your team at this point? I think you've got a couple of really important pieces in place.
Yeah, here's what I know about our team. We're gritty. We're tough. I think we have a pretty damn good offense. We're pretty explosive. We're physical. What piece don't you really like? I mean, you know, I think Anthony threw the ball, I thought, extremely well for most of that game. I think on defense, our kids are really stepping it up right now. We're improving for sure. We're playing physical. We're young there. We got eight 8 new faces there. Yeah. But you know what? And I say young. I should say inexperienced. Not all young, but inexperienced. And we're getting better and we're growing. And as that defense keeps coming, and I think the offense will keep going, you know. And we're at a spot right now, quite honestly, like we get everybody's best shot right now. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Because when people play us, they know they're gonna be drug in that thing. So, I mean, you know, that's and that's part of learning how to handle that, you know.
They also know, I think, from a physicality standpoint of it. I'm sure Dave Clausen spoke to you about it. Maybe he didn't after the game.
No, Dave called me today, and he talked about how their players after the game and yesterday in the film said, you know, this is, by far every year, this is the best team they play and the hardest team. We're the hardest team to prepare for. And he kind of, you know, he didn't have to call me, but, you know, he said, Steve, I just want you to know, he said, you got a hell of a football team. He goes, that was two really good football teams playing each other on that field Saturday. And it was nice of him, you know. I mean, like, I don't talk to a lot of the other coaches in our league during the season, but he felt it necessary to call me. And
well, when you beat him next year, you'll have to reciprocate.
I'm not real good on all that, you know. I just kind of like moving on.
Write
it
down.
I don't talk to anybody before the game. I'm just, you know.
Well, you don't know much about, maybe you do, about Scott Satterfield, the new coach at Appalachian State.
I can tell you what I know from what I only care about what I watch on the film. He has done a great job already. They're very fundamentally sound. They're playing really hard. He's got them sound and playing hard. I don't see any of the nonsense I saw before. They're talented now. They didn't lack talent now. They were athletic, and they're very athletic. And you can already see the effects. I mean, that place is a gold mine, and he'll turn that into that real quick, you know, because they can get players in there, and they've got talented players. So he's a hell of a coach. And I'll tell you how else I know that. I didn't know much about him before, but I'm watching some App State film right now because, believe it or not, once again.
Yeah, you don't have much to go on.
I don't have much to go on because they don't play anybody like us yet, right? Notre Dame isn't really quite like us. So I had to go back and watch App State film against Georgia and App State film against Miami from 2 years ago. It's the same defensive coordinator. But I'll tell you what. I watched that App State team play Georgia. Whew. Wow. That was a great-looking football team. That was a great look. Georgia couldn't move the ball 10 feet, you know. And then they just started throwing us some freaks, and some freaks made some plays. So that guy can coach football.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You watch that team, and that was impressive. And then I see what he's done right now, so I'm impressed by him. And I've met him at the head coach's meeting, and he's a heck of a nice guy, and he's all business.
When you sit in that room today for 8 hours or whatever it was, more than that, what's step one in the process to break down the tape?
So we started yesterday. We spent we graded the film, went through the film from the week ago, blah, 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 met with the players, blah, blah, blah. And then this whole second half of the day through the evening, we tried to get through six game films and then came in this morning and started watching all the formation cut-ups, you know, and then getting on the board and really, you know, putting together our attack and going through painstakingly every front, every stunt, every blitz, every coverage, matching our run game to our play action game. And we all kind of work together in there. It's a real collaborative effort, and just kind of grind it out, you know.
Yep.
You know, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday are like that, you know. And tomorrow will be more heavy emphasis on third down blitz. Wednesday, heavy on the red zone, and then the week starts to taper. But I'll click from when I get through tomorrow, I'll start to click over to watching them on offense.
Right.
And then I'll watch the practice tape of the defense, and I'll start to watch them that way. And then I'll start to study their offense and I try to help where I can from an offensive perspective, looking at their offense and, you know, sometimes making sure that we have the right view of what they're really doing there, you know.
Well, a week ago you had.
And in the meantime, I got formulate the punt block and the kickoff return, and that'll be tomorrow night. So we keep going.
Never a dull moment.
No.
Still like Cronin does on a napkin, right?
Anything? Well, I think I explained it quite well, but that's neither here nor there. I was using salt shakers and, you know, all sorts of stuff the other night. But that's all right. Visuals work. Last week you had a great week of practice.
I mean, there was
I called it the organic enthusiasm.
Yeah.
You know? Are you getting that kind of feel again this week? And the reason I mentioned is I think last week you guys really felt they knew they had a legitimate opponent. They needed to prepare for it, and they owned it.
They owned it, yeah.
And so if you can carry that on a week-to-week basis, that's optimal, obviously. But
we've had 2 weeks where we've really stepped everything up, and I think it's shown. I think you've seen measurable improvement. Like I said, I think here last week, you know, we've got to have that again this week. And then I'm glad there'll be a bye week, because to sustain the way that we've practiced the last 2 weeks, I would say that's not happening at the vast majority of schools in the country. You know, I mean, we are attacking it, you know, and I feel like we have to. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to do that again this week, I think. And, you know, and then get to the bye week. Like I told the team, you know, we're running the last 50 meters here. You know, we'll have a week off. We're gonna go, you know, breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. Let's go. You know what I mean? And, you know, that's going to be the mindset here tomorrow. Staff and players alike, and you know, I'll let you know how it goes. You know, I mean, I'm saying it's going to be great, but I'll go tomorrow.
Well, yeah,
certainly a lot of football ahead. We'll get into the Louisville game some more here with Coach Addazio, and a special guest will drop by as well at Donahue in Watertown. Thanks for joining us. This is the BC Football Show presented by our good friends from Bud Light.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
Out of the shotgun, play fake, rolling to the right, now looking back to the left, going to the end zone, wide open, Flowers, touchdown, Boston College, Dave Flowers, the touchdown, and he's got six. Is that foul worthy?
Foul, my friend, foul.
This is the Boston College Football Show, presented by Bud Light. For more of tonight's show, let's go back to Donahue's with your host, John Meter-Burrell.
Well, it seems like every time Zay Flowers touches the ball, it's productivity for Boston College, much like the rest of the offense against Wake Forest on Saturday. And they'll be facing a Louisville defense still developing under their first-year head coach, Scott Satterfield. Coach, one thing we do know, that both teams like to run the ball. A.J. Dillon, congratulations to him. Third straight week, ACC running back of the week. That is a first in the ACC annals as well. So he's climbing the rushing chart in the nation. And I think he ran the best he's run all year, right?
Yeah, I mean, I thought he had a great performance. He and David Bailey, they're a great 1-2 punch. And those are two good hard-nosed, tough backs. And I thought A.J. played real, real well. And I still think he is yet to have his best game. I think that's coming. But he certainly looks great. And excited about, you know, where he's headed. Yeah.
Well, he certainly had his best game in his career at Louisville. It was the coming out party for him. You remember that from a couple of years ago,
yeah.
272 yards, and he posterized, I think it was Jair Alexander, a safety, and that was a highlight film for everybody. But
how do you remember the safety's name?
Oh, I'm good, Coach.
Right.
I'm good. Jason Baum can check if that was the right call, but I think it was.
I'm not going to question you.
Crota's not questioning me either.
I had trouble with my birthday.
But that play just sticks out to me like anybody else. We saw that. We were like, oh, my God, how the heck did that happen?
Yeah, I mean, he had some phenomenal runs. I mean, I think it would be great if he had another day like that Saturday. Yep.
Now, the offensive line, how it's developed this year through five games, you're happy where they're headed?
Yeah. we're one of the better rushing teams in the country. We have one of the fewest sack levels in the country. I don't know how else you can measure an offensive line, right? And how well they protect the quarterback and how well your backs are running the football. So, yeah, I mean, they're playing at a high level.
And against Louisville now, who's second in the, or I believe second in the conference in rushing behind you guys, what do you see from? I know you haven't taken a deep dive into their offense necessarily yet, but what do they run well?
Yeah, I mean, well, they're a read zone team, and you know they're going to run out of the pistol and run some double and triple option out of the pistol, and so and they've got really good speed, and you know they got a running quarterback, and I think the running quarterback usually is makes another layer of hard to defend. You know, and they're really quick. I mean, you know, we got to make sure we contain the run, you know, and don't let it pop out of there. I thought we did a better job of that. But, you know, Wake Forest was more of a into the line of scrimmage kind of team, and they try to pop out, but this will be different. This will be like, you know, real scattish. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And, you know, probably spread the field pretty good, you know, I would imagine.
Now, looking at watching some of the film today, Cunningham, a very interesting character where. It looks like he's being coached to be patient in the pocket. But when it collapses, he does some pretty remarkable things with his feet.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great athlete. You know, I mean, those guys are dangerous. They're just dangerous. You know,
they extend plays. And
yeah. I mean, you got to stay disciplined in your rush lanes, and you got to cup the ball. You know, simple as that. And that'll, you know, that's something I think that will challenge us.
I watched Florida State and noticed that. They made a couple of mental mistakes, which Florida State was capable of capitalizing on. They cost them a big play. Nobody covering a wide receiver on a blitz, so mistakes happen. But on the other hand, on the second half of that game, they fought back, down two touchdowns, took the lead. So these guys aren't the sisters of the poor, as you say. They're athletic and. They can make plays.
Explosive.
Yeah.
Can hit some big plays on you in a hurry. And that's really concerning. You know, so, yeah, no doubt. I mean, and for us, hard to get a read on all that right now, you know, based on the games that have been played. You know, first game against Notre Dame, I didn't think, you know, it was just kind of a little bit, you know, Notre Dame was kind of.
It was early.
And they were missing a couple players, and they were trying to throw the ball around a little bit. And when they wanted to run it, they could run it. But this Louisville team's explosive. They're kind of the same way on defense. Like, I mean, they're good tacklers in space. They close the distance really fast. They're athletic up front. They're not huge. And they blitz. I mean, I think they may blitz every snap.
Yeah, they a lot of stuff. Trying to get the mismatches and being athletic. You get an athletic mismatch, turns into a big play for them.
Yeah, I mean, I just think we got to do a great job of fitting our blocks up and getting those things vertical. You know,
5 games in now, kind of give you an overview, a good overview of where you're at, what you have to do better, what you're happy about. Defensively, what do you have to do better?
Well, I would say third down sticks out, right? We've got to get off the field, so I think third down we got to continue to improve. That's a legitimate issue that we're working on. What does that mean? Well, I think it means a lot of things. I think we've got to do a better job on first and second down and getting these things into a little bit longer third down. I think our coverage needs to tighten up a little bit. I think we're loose in the coverage. I think offensively, I would say the same thing. I think consistency, although we were number 2, in the conference in third down last week, I think we'll probably drop a little bit after this past game. But you know, third down is a big picture. I'm more interested in third and medium. I would say that's where I think we need to improve a little bit, is third and medium. We're actually pretty good in third and long and third and short. It's third and medium where I think we need the consistency to keep those drives alive. You know, like, you know, in that game, you know, it was, you know, like we had a fourth and 3. You know, like those distances to me, I'd like to see us throw and catch that better. You know?
Now, another one that jumps at you a little bit is red zone scoring.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah,
yeah, that's like, wow. I mean, you go back and replay that a million times, and, you know, being better in that situation is obviously going to have an impact.
Yeah, I mean, we were first and goal from the 8 or whatever it was. We ended up kicking a field goal. I mean, you know, a team like us, the way we can run the ball, we should be able to, you know, from the 8, get it in there, yeah.
Yeah. It seems like also on special teams, I know you've been close to some big plays.
Yeah, kickoff return's pretty good right now. I think we've got that humming pretty good. We had another return over the 50 that set up a score. I'd like to see us get our punt return going. I feel like we're not getting, you know, that kid was an exceptional punter, but yeah, I'd like to see us a little better there. I think, yeah, I mean, we're trying to get our kickoffs under control. We're kicking the ball better, although we had another one go out of bounds, but I think they're deeper. I like our coverage. I think that's improving. You know, I think our punt protection and coverage is excellent. We don't always, you know, get as much distance as we'd like to get on those punts. And I think, you know, the field goal deal, you know, we're managing Boomer. He's not able to kick but maybe once a week. But, you know, unfortunately, we were late getting that off, but he put that through the uprights.
Oh, yeah, he pointed a leg on it.
And I felt good about the next one. If we had the right snap, I felt like we'd probably, you know, well, we had timed it up that, you know, we had the wind at our back at that point in time and felt good about that, you know. So, you know, we'll see. I'd like to see us, I'd say if you said one thing on special teams, I want to see our punt return game. You know, we're not getting a lot of punt return yardage. You know, that needs to improve.
I watched, again, the Louisville had a punt return, a kickoff return for a touchdown callback.
Yeah.
So, again, adding to the explosive nature of that football team, that's a big play.
Speed kills.
Can't coach it.
It's.
I tried.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Yeah, I know.
Hard to find, Pete, if you don't have
it.
Right?
That's okay.
You know. Yeah,
it's called Twitch.
Yeah, it's kinda called genetics. Yeah, you know.
How are your calves? You got good calves?
Oh, if I was a woman, that would have been very attractive.
Boy, that's a thought.
It's never too late.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, you're right.
Yeah. Maybe we could talk about that off the air, Pete, if you really have to unburden yourself.
Nah, it's okay.
Through 5 weeks in college football, what jumps out at you? Any themes that you see? I know you don't pay that much attention nationally, but anything that really jumps out about what's established here in the early 5 weeks of the season?
You mean nationally?
Nationally.
I don't know.
ACC-wise, even.
On any given Saturday, anybody can win.
Yeah.
You know, you saw North Carolina and Clemson go down to the two-point conversion. I think it's a wide open deal. I think obviously the cream of the league is Clemson for sure, no doubt about that. But you know, college football. I mean, I think this year more than I've seen in most years. I don't care who you're talking about right now. You know, anybody's vulnerable. Anybody at any time. It's just the way it is. You know, I've seen that. The only team that I follow that seems to be on a path above that is Ohio State right now, and I don't know that they've had that challenge yet.
Right.
You know, but they've been pretty consistently, you know, up there. But other than that, I just feel like whatever I'm catching, I try to catch it on Saturday night a little bit. I, it's all over the lot right now.
Yeah. We say there's 10 or 12 teams, then there's the rest. You know,
is there 10 or 12?
Well, we don't know. That's kind of
I would say maybe there's five at the moment that are really the cream of the crop. Maybe.
Maybe. Let's see.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, but I guess that's a good thing for us.
It's too early. Yeah. Just remember this, and I say, well, we're mid-season. Well, we're not mid-season yet. We will be. But a lot of teams haven't played anybody yet. A lot of teams have a lot of warm-up games. I mean, there's a lot of these big teams you're talking about. They've played a 1AA. They've played a group of five. It's too early to tell. I'd say you're going to need at least another couple, 3 weeks before you really know on some places. Some of your biggest teams play their easiest layups early. I mean, they it's just the way it is, you know. Because they can afford to buy the teams they want to buy to bring them in and set the games that they want to set them. So, I mean, you know, there have been a few markets for sure. But there's a lot that, for whatever the dynamic, you know, hasn't been challenged yet.
Well, coming up on the BC Football Show, we'll be joined by a special guest at Donahue's in Watertown. This guy needs no introduction.
None.
Absolutely none.
Legend.
All I can tell you, he is a legend. That's a good way to set the table coming up here on the BC Football Show with Steve Adazio. We'll be back right after this. Goal for the fourth, Brown. Sprinting out, a little toss and a catch by David Bailey. Wow, a little pitch by Anthony Brown to David Bailey for the touchdown, and the Eagles are 1 point away from tying it up. 4 yards, a pitch by Anthony Brown. That was pretty. And Bailey's got six.
Live from Donahue's, you're listening to the Boston College Football Show, presented by Bud Light. Once again, here's John Peter Burrell.
And welcome back to Donahue's in Watertown, the home base of many legends in Watertown, including, you know, Pete Cronin.
Stop there.
That starts number one, of course.
Oh, there are a couple other ones.
But, you know, on the list, I think you might be slightly behind.
I don't think you start with me.
No, you don't start with you. No. I love you, but you got to start with one, Jerry York, the legendary BC hockey coach,
exactly.
Who is a Hall of Famer in many walks of life. Jerry, good to see you. How are you?
Excellent, John. Very excited about being here. I've come a couple of times not being on the dais, and I've had a chance to, you know, watch Steve and you guys, and I enjoy that.
Yeah, we see you all the time. We appreciate you dropping by. You know, one thing that people might not know about you, you're a huge football fan, right?
Well, I love football. It's college football. I'm not as much as a pro. I mean, I like to follow the Patriots, but the college game, I'm just fascinated by it, and, you know, especially BC football, and I think Steven's doing an unbelievable job. I'm a big, big fan of his. And, you know, I like that Bailey guy. You know, I know AJ is he's our marquee guy. But, boy, we've got another, you know, really good running back. And,
yes.
You know, so I really enjoy watching it. I was bummed out this weekend because I had to go recruiting at USHL and Pittsburgh. And, you know, just got bits and pieces of the game. So,
well, how'd you do in Pittsburgh?
I think we got some good players, so
that's good. There you go. Worth it.
Yeah, it was worth it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, we could probably work something out if you do some more recruiting. Take us with you, XM Radio. You know,
my per diem's not nearly what you cover your taste and
we
food.
We might be
so.
Able to work things out. You know,
Jerry, that must be one of the battles that you face. Not a battle, but I guess from a perspective of every year it gets tougher to recruit high-level talent, even though BC seems to get the cream of the crop. What's it like from that perspective? And your assistant coach is on the road all the time, just constantly seeking out the best talent.
Oh, every sport. Football is the exact same. Steve and I, and, you know, we face the same obstacles. You know, the players we want, certainly other people want. And every once in a while, you get someone that's been overlooked, and he turns into a Pete Cronin, you know.
But set the bar
diving
higher,
in the
coach.
Rough.
Set the bar higher, coach.
He thought I was going to say Doug Flutie, but you know.
Yeah.
But it's just always hard recruiting. You can never, even the players you think that are locks,
yeah,
might not necessarily be locks. So it's constantly recruiting, but then re-recruiting your players before right. The national letter. So it's always challenging.
So hockey's interesting because they unlike football, they actually have a draft in high school. So you've got a couple of kids coming in. I'm looking at my notes here. You got a couple of number one draft picks on your coming into the school or at school now.
Right.
And so how does all that work? They get drafted, but they don't go to their teams? Or
well, it's similar to baseball. They have a choice. You know, the good high school baseball pitcher is drafted, and, hey, do I sign with Milwaukee or do I go to the college? And we have the exact same situation. But ours is once you're drafted, you're locked into that team for the next 4 years.
Oh, 4 years.
So it's not after your junior year you have to make a decision. But yeah, we've got some really good players. We have three freshmen this year that are all first round, and all mid-first rounders. I think it's 12, 13, and 17. So they'll have decisions after the year also. But I think they're really locked in, and they feel good about BC, and I think they're going to stay a while.
Yeah,
but that makes your job a little bit tougher, doesn't it, when you got a guy who's got that carrot out there, NHL money, obviously, makes it tough on, I think, all coaches to keep kids in programs.
Yeah, in all sports. You know, it's football. It's, you know, you have to be a little more physically ready to play in that football, but because there's no minor leagues.
Right.
But hockey and baseball, you know, and even put basketball with that D-League, they could sign a player and still groom them. And, you know, some of the pro teams want to have hands-on with their players. But I like our team this year. It's exciting. We're deeper and more talented than we were the last couple of years. And we open up, we have an exhibition game this weekend with University of New Brunswick. But then University of Wisconsin comes in the next Friday. Then we're at Colgate and then two at Denver. So we'll find out really quick where we are.
Start with the Thunder.
Well, I think it's like what Steve was talking about. You know, some of these teams don't really know how good they are because they've been playing, you know, teams that they've bought with, you know, guarantees. But, you know, I want to find out if we've got warts, let's find out early.
Yep.
And see if we can, you know, not masquerade. Here's what we need to work on. And So I think it's good to play a more challenging schedule.
You're also the preseason number one team based on the media poll on Hockey East that was released last Thursday. Do you like that as a coach? Do you? I mean, it's good. It's positive on one hand, but is it negative on another?
Well, I'm thinking someone like Peter votes on, you know, media for football. You know, you're not sure whether.
Right. Would you rather be fifth than one?
No, I'd rather be one at the end of the year. You know, this is newspaper talk, and even I don't know how much time you take to, you know, rank teams 1 through 11. You know, we've got other things on our mind, and I'm sure the media does too.
And you ranked 11th in the latest top 20 poll that just came out today too. So
okay.
High expectations, which is good. You always have them though at BC. Your 26th year now at Boston College, and what are you most optimistic about?
I just think our senior, especially Dave Cotton, returned to school. He, like Peter said, he had a chance to leave, and Logan Huskell's a junior, the same. And they kind of said, we've got some unfinished business. They haven't been excited about where we've played the last couple of years. And, you know, one of the things was, hey, I want to stay and get my degree. But another was part of it, hey, I want to leave a more intangible mark here. So we kept our two players that we thought we might lose.
Yep.
And we've got some depth now. We've got a big senior class and a big freshman class. So, but we're quick and we're fast. I'm pretty excited by the effort that I've seen on our ice so far this year.
How would you size up Hockey East? You know, it's a traditionally very tough conference, but then you bring in some of those Midwestern conferences. Big Ten's a big one. I mean, there's a yeah. How would you size Hockey East up collectively on a national scale?
I think we're right there. You know, it's like comparing the ACC with the Big Ten, or the Big Ten with the Southeast Conference. You know, they're all good leagues, and I think with ourselves and the Big Ten hockey, the ECAC. You can't be so like, hey, we've got all of the best players, the best coaches, the best teams. It's spread pretty geographically, and that's a good challenge. It's good for us, but we love our league, and we're very proud of it.
A good competition every week. I mean, you can't get a bad game in Hockey East. I think it. You just watch that schedule. Pick one, anyone, and you're going to get a good hockey game.
Yeah, it used to be before we could almost say here are the top three teams, and you know the other teams are there. But now it's just spread out more. UMass has come on very strong, and you know they were never a factor before.
Lowell too, right?
Lowell, Northeastern, they're all. Before it was like BC, BU, just back and forth. But now it's spread more.
With your three first round picks, they're no doubt talented. But what's the most difficult transition for a kid coming to college hockey from another level?
Oh, just you know, the strength factor. They're still 18 years old, the three players we have. And so they're going against 22, 23-year-old players. So I think strength, they're just adjusting to everything. Similar to a football player coming in with Steve. He's got academics. He's got the social environment's different, living away from home. And then you put in, hey, these guys are pretty good that, you know, I'm competing because they're older, they're stronger. So I think there's all kinds of complex issues. It's never easy for anyone to come in.
Oh, are the rules, any big rule changes? We every year there's something in football. You got anything in hockey?
No, not earth-shaking at all. So no. Everything's going to stay the same. They're always looking for, you know, concussion protocol and, the situations where, yeah.
You know, people always think football is a contact sport, and the only contact sport. They say, you ever gone to a hockey game?
Yeah, hockey's we're trying to devise better helmets and, but it's a factor. I think soccer, for crying out loud.
Oh, yeah. Headers.
Banging heads and stuff. So, but I think we've been fortunate that we've got great training staff, and there's no question if they think it's a problem, they're going to pull someone off.
When I say David Cotton, what do you think about?
Oh, just a big, strong leader, just getting better every year, and I think it's going to be certainly a Hobie Baker candidate this year.
No kidding. Excellent. And in goal, I know you have a kid coming in who's a first-round pick, Alex Newhook, right?
Alex is a forward from Newfoundland. I haven't had a player from Newfoundland before, so.
Wow.
How's your Newfoundlanding? Is that what they speak?
Newfoundies?
I know they're a half hour ahead of us in the time zone.
You got that going for you.
Yeah. But Spencer Knight's the boy.
That's right.
He's Spencer a goaltender, Knight. And he's very, very good. And he's big, athletic, and I think we need that goaltender, you need a quarterback, those similarities.
Hockey's very similar in that regard, right?
Oh, I think it's a team sport, it's physical, it's you need to be team above individual. And, you know, it's I think it's unbelievable amount of similarities.
Yeah.
We were talking last week, actually, about the resurgence of popularity of hockey. You know, you go down Route 9 now, you get that place in Wellesley. It's a megaplex hockey yeah. Rinks. Has that changed now? It seems like with the way you're talking, it has. It's a lot more talent. It seems like there's a lot more talent out there.
Yeah, and spread out through the country, too. You know, Arizona, California, yeah. Florida.
Yeah.
As the NHL expanded, the base grew. So it's a lot of, you know, before, it used to be just 15 miles of BC was your team, you know, but
right.
We're all over the map now.
Well, we can't wait to watch. It's going to be a terrific season, no doubt. It always is. Jerry York, the legendary Jerry York, the Hockey Hall of Famer. Thanks so much for joining us. Good luck this year.
So let's take on Louisville. I'm ready for it.
You ready?
Are
you ready?
Steve never puts me in, though. He's
been on a few road trips with us in the past. Yeah, you went to Clemson one year.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
That's kind of what was on your bucket list, you told me, right?
That's right.
How about Louisville? Louisville on your bucket list? Go to the Louisville Slugger factory right across the street.
And Churchill Downs.
Also.
Right across the street, yes. Hopefully A.J. Dillon will be running like that on Saturday. And maybe David Bailey, too. Coach York, thank you. That's Jerry York of the BC.
The Passion.
25, first down, 20. 15, 10. 5, 3, 2, 1.
The Fury.
Getting bled. Down he goes.
The Speed.
Double.
Best in college football from coast to coast.
Touchdown, Ole Miss!
13-0 Buckeyes.
The goal line.
Touchdown, Texas.
Ball's on the carpet. Georgia says we have it. He's in. Touchdown, Michigan.
This is the College Football Blitz. Listen on Saturdays this fall on College Sports Now on TuneIn.
On second down and 10 from the 15-yard line of the Demon Deacons. The give to David Bailey, throwing the ball to the end zone and caught for a touchdown. Man, oh man, the halfback option pass to Chris Garrison for the score. And the Eagles trail 27-23. How do you like that? Is that bow worthy?
Yes, it is. Go ahead and bow.
This is the Boston College Football Show, presented by Bud Light. For more of tonight's show, let's go back to Donahue's with your host, John Peter Burrell.
Well, a highlight-filled reel for BC offensively on Saturday against Wake Forest. Coach, that was in the bag there, the halfback option from David Bailey to Chris Garrison. Well executed. How'd you get it done?
I mean, David did a great job. You know, he sold it, and then he pulled himself up, and he threw a great ball. I mean, David, people don't realize that David Bailey's a great athlete. He was a great high school basketball player. He's one of those kids that can play any sport.
Wow.
You know, he's really something. I mean, as big and powerful and strong as he is, got great feet, great eye-hand coordination, you know. It's really kind of a freaky athlete.
You got a few of those guys on your team right now, right? Like Joey Lucchetti?
Yeah, Joey's a great basketball player, too. Very good. Very good. Very good hooper.
When you listen to Jerry York, I know you've had a long-time relationship with him. What do you think about?
Well, Coach, he's just got great insight in everything. I mean, he's got great experience. Not only here at Boston College, but just in general in terms of the college game, recruiting, motivation, all kinds of things. And, you know, he's been in this business a long time and worked his way up in this career, which, you know, I respect, you know, and just done a fabulous job. But just 26 years being a head coach is remarkable. And beloved by his players. I mean, not just, you know, beloved. And that's I think that's a really awesome thing, and I think it's a great representative of Boston College. That's what Boston College is all about. You know, it's all about the relationships and the development, and so, you know, they hit a home run with Coach York for sure.
Well, going in the Hall of Fame there on November 18th up in Toronto, so, you know.
Oh, wow, Toronto. That's where my daughter just moved to. Maybe we'll have to go up there.
There you go.
She's in Toronto right now. I've never been. I know they got great, some of the best Italian food you've ever seen, a great Italian section in Toronto. Pretty jacked up about that right now. So maybe we'll go have Italian food and go watch Jerry get inducted. And
there you go.
They'll make for
see our grand dog and our daughter and son-in-law. And it's a good weekend.
Makes for a good weekend, absolutely.
Yeah.
Do you
yeah.
find yourself in every stop you've been kind of tapping into some coaches for their philosophies in terms of how they deal with their teams?
Yeah, I mean, when I come across coaches I have a great respect for and the way they run their program, their staying power, their character, that's when you pay really close attention to it, you know. And there are those individuals out there, and there's a reason why they're so successful, you know. So they're great.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole-body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Goal for the four, Brown.
Stretching
out, a little toss and a catch by David Bailey. Wow, a little pitch by Anthony Brown to David Bailey for the touchdown. And the Eagles are 1 point away from tying it up. 4 yards, a pitch by Anthony Brown. That was pretty. And Bailey's got six.
Live from Donahue's, you're listening to the Boston College Football Show, presented by Bud Light. Once again, here's John Peter Burrell.
And welcome back to Donahue's in Watertown, the home base of many legends in Watertown, including, you know, Pete Cronin.
Stop there.
That starts number one, of course.
Oh, there are a couple other ones.
But, you know, on the list, I think you might be slightly behind.
I don't think you start with me.
No, you don't start with you. No. I love you, but you got to start with one, Jerry York, the legendary BC hockey coach,
exactly.
Who is a Hall of Famer in many walks of life. Jerry, good to see you. How are you?
Excellent, John. Very excited about being here. I've come a couple of times not being on the dais, and I've had a chance to, you know, watch Steve and you guys, and I enjoy that.
Yeah, we see you all the time. We appreciate you dropping by. You know, one thing that people might not know about you, you're a huge football fan, right?
Well, I love football. It's college football. I'm not as much as a pro. I mean, I like to follow the Patriots, but the college game, I'm just fascinated by it, and, you know, especially BC football, and I think Steven's doing an unbelievable job. I'm a big, big fan of his. And, you know, I like that Bailey guy. You know, I know AJ is he's our marquee guy. But, boy, we've got another, you know, really good running back. And,
yes.
You know, so I really enjoy watching it. I was bummed out this weekend because I had to go recruiting at USHL and Pittsburgh. And, you know, just got bits and pieces of the game. So,
well, how'd you do in Pittsburgh?
I think we got some good players, so
that's good. There you go. Worth it.
Yeah, it was worth it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, we could probably work something out if you do some more recruiting. Take us with you, XM Radio. You know,
my per diem's not nearly what you cover your taste in food.
We might be
so.
Able to work things out. You know,
Jerry, that must be one of the battles that you face. Not a battle, but I guess from a perspective of every year, it gets tougher to recruit high-level talent, even though BC seems to get the cream of the crop. What's it like from that perspective? And your assistant coach is on the road all the time, just constantly seeking out the best talent.
Oh, every sport. Football is the exact same. Steve and I, and, you know, we face the same obstacles. You know, the players we want, certainly other people want. And every once in a while, you get someone that's been overlooked, and he turns into a Pete Cronin, you know.
But set the bar
diamond in the
coach.
Rough.
Set the bar higher, coach.
He thought I was going to say Doug Flutie, but you know.
Yeah.
But it's just always hard recruiting. You can never, even the players you think that are locks,
yeah,
might not necessarily be locks. So it's constantly recruiting, but then re-recruiting your players before the national letter. So it's always challenging.
So hockey's interesting because they unlike football, they actually have a draft in high school. So you've got a couple kids coming in. I'm looking at my notes here. You got a couple of number one draft picks on your coming into the school or at school now.
Right.
And so how does all that work? They get drafted, but they don't go to their teams? Or
well, similar to baseball, they have a choice. You know, the good high school baseball pitcher is drafted, and, hey, do I sign with Milwaukee or do I go to the college? And we have the exact same situation. But ours is once you're drafted, you're locked into that team for the next 4 years.
Oh, 4 years.
So
okay.
It's not after your junior year you have to make a decision. But we've got some really good players. We have three freshmen this year that are all first round, and all mid first rounders. I think it's 12, 13, and 17. So they'll have decisions after the year also. But I think they're really locked in, and they feel good about BC, and I think they're going to stay a while.
Yeah,
but that makes your job a little bit tougher, doesn't it, when you got a guy who's got that carrot out there, NHL money, obviously makes it tough on, I think, all coaches to keep kids in programs.
Yeah, in all sports. You know, it's football. It's, you know, you have to be a little more physically ready to play in that football, but because there's no minor leagues.
Right.
But hockey and baseball, you know, and even put basketball with that D-League, they could sign a player and still groom them. And, you know, some of the pro teams want to have hands-on with their players. But I like our team this year. It's exciting. We're deeper, more talented than we were the last couple of years. And we open up. We have an exhibition game this weekend with University of New Brunswick. But then University of Wisconsin comes in the next Friday. Then we're at Colgate, and then two at Denver. So we'll find out really quick where we are.
With the Thunder.
Well, I think it's like what Steve was talking about. You know, some of these teams don't really know how good they are because they've been playing, you know, teams that they've bought with, you know, guarantees. But, you know, I want to find out if we've got warts. Let's find out early and see if we can, you know, not masquerade. It's what we need to work on. And so I think it's good to play a more challenging schedule.
You're also the preseason number one team based on the media poll on Hockey East that was released last Thursday. Do you like that as a coach? Do you? I mean, it's good. It's positive on one hand, but is it negative on another?
Well, I'm thinking someone like Peter votes on, you know, media for football. You know, you're not sure whether.
Right. Would you rather be fifth than one?
No, I'd rather be one at the end of the year. You know, this is
correct.
Newspaper talk, and even I don't know how much time you take to, you know, rank teams 1 through 11. You know, we've got other things on our mind, and I'm sure the media does too.
And you ranked 11th in the latest top 20 poll that just came out today too. So high expectations, which is good. You always have them though at BC. You're 26th year now at Boston College, and what are you most optimistic about?
I just think our senior, especially Dave Cotton, returned to school. He, like Peter said, he had a chance to leave, and Logan Huskins, a junior, the same. And they kind of said that we've got some unfinished business. They haven't been excited about where we've played the last couple of years. And, you know, one of the things was, hey, I want to stay and get my degree. But another was part of it, hey, I want to leave a more intangible mark here. So we kept our two players that we thought we might lose.
Yep.
And we've got some depth now. We've got a big senior class and a big freshman class. So, but we're quick and we're fast. I'm pretty excited by the effort that I've seen on our ice so far this year.
How would you size up Hockey East? You know, it's traditionally very tough conference, but then you bring in some of those Midwestern conferences. Big Ten's a big one. I mean, how would you size Hockey East up collectively on a national scale?
I think we're right there. You know, it's like comparing the ACC with the Big Ten, or the Big Ten with the Southeast Conference. You know, they're all good leagues, and I think with ourselves and the Big Ten hockey, the ECAC. You can't be so like, hey, we've got all of the best players, the best coaches, the best teams. It's spread pretty geographically, and that's a good challenge. It's good for us, but we love our league, and we're very proud of it.
A good competition every week. I mean, you can't get a bad game in Hockey East. I think it. You just watch that schedule. Pick one, anyone, and you're going to get a good hockey game.
Yeah, it used to be before we could almost say here are the top three teams and, you know, the other teams are there. But now it's just spread out more. UMass has come on very strong, and, you know, they were never a factor before.
Lowell, too, right?
Lowell, Northeastern, they're all. Before it was like BC, BU, just back and forth. But now it's spread more.
With your three first-round picks, they're no doubt talented. But what's the most difficult transition for a kid coming to college hockey from another level?
Oh, just you know, the strength factor. They're still 18 years old, the three players we have. And so they're going against 22, 23-year-old players. So I think strength, they're just adjusting to everything. Similar to a football player coming in with Steve. He's got academics. He's got the social environment's different, living away from home. And then you put in, hey, these guys are pretty good that, you know, I'm competing because they're older, they're stronger. So I think there's all kinds of complex issues. It's never easy for anyone to come in.
Oh, are the rules, any big rule changes? We every year there's something in football. You got anything in hockey?
No, not earth shaking at all. So
no.
Everything's going to stay the same. They're always looking for, you know, concussion protocol and, the situations where, yeah.
You know, people always think football is a contact sport, and the only contact sport. They say, you ever gone to a hockey game?
Yeah, hockey's, we're trying to devise better helmets and, But it's a factor. I think soccer, for crying out loud.
Oh, yeah. Headers.
Banging heads and stuff. So, but I think we've been fortunate that we've, you know, we've got great training staff, and there's no question if they think there's a problem, they're going to pull someone off.
When I say David Cotton, what do you think about?
Oh, just a big, strong leader, just getting better every year. And I think it's going to be certainly a Hobie Baker candidate this year.
No kidding. Excellent. And in goal, I know you have a kid coming in who's a first-round pick, Alex Newhook, right?
Alex is a forward from Newfoundland. I haven't had a player from Newfoundland before, so.
Wow.
How's your Newfoundlanding? Is that what they speak?
Newfoundies?
I know they were a half hour ahead of us in the time zone.
You got that going for you.
Yeah. But Spencer Knight's the boy.
That's right.
He's
Spencer
a goaltender, Knight. And he's very, very good. And he's big, athletic, and I think he's. You know, you need that goaltender, you need a quarterback, those similarities.
Hockey's very similar in that regard, right?
Oh, I think it's team sport, it's physical, you need to be team above individual. And, you know, I think it's unbelievable amount of similarities.
Yeah.
We were talking last week, actually, about the resurgence of popularity of hockey. You know, you go down Route 9 now, you get that place in Wellesley's. It's a megaplex hockey
yeah.
Rinks. Has that changed now? It seems like with the way you're talking, it has. It's a lot more talent. It seems like there's a lot more talent out there.
Yeah, and spread out throughout the country too. You know, Arizona, California, yeah. Florida.
Yeah.
As the NHL expanded, the base grew. So it's a lot of, you know, before it used to be just 15 miles of BC was your team, you know, but
right.
We're all over the map now.
Well, we can't wait to watch. It's going to be a terrific season, no doubt. It always is. Jerry York, the legendary Jerry York, the Hockey Hall of Famer. Thanks so much for joining us. Good luck this year.
So let's take on Louisville. I'm ready for it.
You
right
ready?
Now.
Are you ready?
Steve never puts me in, though. I always.
He's been on a few road trips with us in the past. Yeah, you went to Clemson one year.
Yeah, I did, yeah.
That's kind of what was on your bucket list, you told me, right?
That's right.
How about Louisville? Louisville on your bucket list? Go to the Louisville Slugger factory right across the street.
And Churchill Downs.
Also.
Right across the street, yes. Hopefully A.J. Dillon will be running like that on Saturday. And maybe David Bailey, too. Coach York, thank you. That's Jerry York of the BC.
The Passion.
25, first down, 20. 15, 10. 5, 3, 2, 1.
The Fury.
Getting bled. Down he goes.
The Speed.
Double, and it's going to be
the best in college football from coast to coast.
Touchdown, Ole Miss.
13-0 Buckeyes.
The goal line. Touchdown, Texas.
Ball's on the carpet. Georgia says we have it.
He's in. Touchdown, Michigan.
This is the College Football Blitz. Listen on Saturdays this fall on College Sports Now on TuneIn.
On second down and 10 from the 15-yard line of the Demon Deacons. The give to David Bailey, throwing the ball to the end zone and caught for a touchdown. Man, oh man, the halfback option pass to Chris Garrison for the score. And the Eagles trail 27-23. How do you like that? Is that bow worthy?
Yes, it is. Go ahead and bow.
This is the Boston College Football Show, presented by Bud Light. For more of tonight's show, let's go back to Donahue's with your host, John Peter Burrell.
Well, a highlight-filled reel for BC offensively on Saturday against Wake Forest. Coach, that was in the bag there, the halfback option from David Bailey to Chris Garrison. Well executed. How'd you get it done?
I mean, David did a great job. You know, he sold it, and then he pulled himself up, and he threw a great ball. I mean, David, people don't realize that David Bailey's a great athlete. He was a great high school basketball player. He's one of those kids that can play any sport.
Wow.
You know, he's really something. I mean, as big and powerful and strong as he is, he's got great feet, great eye-hand coordination, you know. It's really kind of a freaky athlete.
You got a few of those guys on your team right now, right? Like Joey Lucchetti?
Yeah, Joey's a great basketball player, too. Very good. Very good. Very good hooper.
When you listen to Jerry York, I know you've had a long-time relationship with him. What do you think about?
Well, Coach, he's just got great insight in everything. I mean, he's got great experience. Not only here at Boston College, but just in general in terms of the college game, recruiting, motivation, all kinds of things. And, you know, he's been in this business a long time and worked his way up in this career, which, you know, I respect, you know, and just done a fabulous job. But just 26 years being a head coach is remarkable. and be loved by his players. I mean, not just, you know, be loved. And that's a, I think that's a really awesome thing, and I think it's a great representative of Boston College. That's what Boston College is all about. You know, it's not, it's all about the relationships and the development. And so, you know, they hit a home run with Coach York, for sure.
Well, going in the Hall of Fame there on November 18th up in Toronto. So, you know.
Oh, wow, Toronto. That's where my daughter just moved to. Maybe we'll have to go up there.
There you go.
She's in Toronto right now. I've never been. I know they got great, some of the best Italian food you've ever seen, a great Italian section in Toronto. Pretty jacked up about that right now. So maybe we'll go have Italian food and go watch Jerry get inducted. And
there you go.
They'll make for
see our grand dog and our daughter and son-in-law. And it's a good weekend.
Makes for a good weekend, absolutely. Yeah. Do you find yourself in every stop you've been kind of tapping into some coaches for their philosophies in terms of how they deal with their teams?
Yeah, I mean, when I come across coaches I have a great respect for and the way they run their program, their staying power, their character, that's when you pay really close attention to it, you know. And there are those individuals out there, and there's a reason why they're so successful, you know. So they're great people to pay attention to and follow.
And you look at Satterfield coming up with Louisville, a coach that's developing his program, our keys to the game. Louisville's 2-2. Tough loss opening night to Notre Dame. They beat the directional schools, Eastern Kentucky, Western Kentucky, and they lost to Florida State. Coming off a bye week, what does that mean, you think, for them?
Well, I mean, what it usually means is you're going to have a fresh team. They're home. They're off a bye week. And that means you're probably going to see some wrinkles that you haven't seen before. You know, and that's always ducky when you're, you know, a little bit young on defense. So we got to just, you know, prepare the best we can for what we think will possibly be those wrinkles. But in the same breath, I feel like we were kind of hitting our stride last week, you know. So, you know, I like that too, you know. And we just got to go on the road, which, you know, I think sometimes, you know, we're on the road and we handle that well. And we're just going to have to play well early. They're explosive. You said it. They're like whatever they are in the conference now, rushing. I mean, you know, there's no shortage of explosive plays. So we've been in some wars, you know, and I think that I'm hoping that's going to pay some dividend. But we've got to continue to improve, no doubt about it.
Now, you had a compliment. I saw us each week you kind of hear the same thing, same mantra coming from the opposing coaches, that the BC style is extremely difficult to prepare for. Yeah. The physical, multi-tight ends, power back, power running, downhill. And we hear it, but to hear it from your competition that it's a difficult week to prep, you know, it's got to be encouraging for you. The team struggled to prepare for you guys.
Well, yeah, I mean, because just look at the fact that I'm watching the tape trying to see teams like us play against them. I can't find them. So, you know, like last week we spent an awful lot of time trying to simulate Wake Forest because they're unique and different. And I think, you know, the benefit that, you know, Louisville has is they've had a bye week to do that. You know, you love to catch them on a short week like that. But we are probably different than the average bear in college football.
Yeah.
But yet, you know, in the same breath, we have a lot of multiplicity. I mean, we can run the spread runs, the spread options, you know, we have a big, we run a lot of similar type of plays as the Rams with the bunches and the 2x2 and 3x1 bunches and the naked game and sprint out game. So, you know, hopefully we can present some problems. But the moral of the story is I feel confident, and I can tell you that people respect the fact that our program is, you know, is going to be fundamentally sound and tough. The only thing I worry about is, like, you know, people say they don't want to play us, but you know, we don't want to just beat them up. We want to win. You know what I mean? You know, sometimes you beat them up, that's great. You know, and that helps the next week's opponent. But we got to beat them up and win, and you know, that means, you know, when we have our opportunities to score more points, we've got to handle that, and that means we got to get off the field. And that's all part of it, but. You know, the object is to have more points than the opponent does at the end of the game. So that's what I'll be concerned about.
Anthony Brown through 5 games. Where is his report card headed?
Well, I think Anthony played his best game on Saturday, in my opinion. You know, I think there's, like all of us, coaches and players alike. We have room to grow and develop, and I think he has room in there. I think, but I thought that the bulk of his work was much more consistent. I liked his look. I like his leadership. And I think he's got a chance to play his very, very best game this week.
We're looking forward to it. Should be another good one. BC and Louisville coming up on Saturday at 12:30. Coach, great job.
Right,
always
John,
a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks, Coach.
Very special thanks to Jerry York, our special guest. Also, Jason Baum, Paul Criscione, and the Gridiron crew. He's Pete Cronin. Pete, we won't be here next week. You can come by
I
anyway.
I might be by.
For the bye week, we will not be here.
I might
Maybe you and I
in.
Will meet here anyway.
Jerry and I are going to meet.
Maybe
talk.
Break bread.
Maybe do an interview. Who knows?
Maybe. Bye week next week. We'll be back again on the next Monday night, October 14th. So we look forward to that. This is the BC Football Show. Have a great week, everybody. Good night from Donahue's in Watertown.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The passion.
25, first down, 20. 15, 10. 5, 3, 2, 1.
The fury.
Getting blitzed. Down he goes.
The speed.
Double, and it's going to be. Oh, my.
The best in college football. From coast to coast.
Touchdown, Ole Miss.
13-0 Buckeyes.
The goal line.
Touchdown, Texas.
Ball's on the carpet. Georgia says we have it. He's in. Touchdown, Michigan.
This is the College Football Blitz. Listen on Saturdays this fall on College Sports Now on TuneIn.
On second down and 10 from the 15-yard line of the Demon Deacons. And the give to David Bailey, throwing the ball to the end zone and caught for a touchdown. Man, oh man, the halfback option pass to Chris Garrison for the score. And the Eagles trail 27-23. How do you like that? Is that bow worthy?
Yes, yes it is. Go ahead and bow.
This is the Boston College Football Show, presented by Bud Light. For more of tonight's show, let's go back to Donahue's with your host, John Peter Burrell.
Well, a highlight-filled reel for BC offensively on Saturday against Wake Forest. Coach, that was in the bag there, the halfback option from David Bailey to Chris Garrison. Well executed. How'd you get it done?
I mean, David did a great job. You know, he sold it, and then he pulled himself up, and he threw a great ball. I mean, David, people don't realize that David Bailey's a great athlete. He was a great high school basketball player. He's one of those kids that can play any sport.
Wow.
You know, he's really something. I mean, as big and powerful and strong as he is, he's got great feet, great eye-hand coordination, you know. It's really kind of a freaky athlete.
You got a few of those guys on your team right now, right? Like
yeah.
Joey Lucchetti?
Yeah, Joey's a great basketball player, too. Very good. Very good. Very good hooper.
When you listen to Jerry York, I know you've had a long-time relationship with him. What do you think about?
Well, Coach, he's just got great insight in everything. I mean, he's got great experience, not only here at Boston College, but just in general in terms of the college game, recruiting, motivation, all kinds of things. And, you know, he's been in this business a long time and worked his way up in this career, which, you know, I respect, you know, and just done a fabulous job. And just 26 years being a head coach is remarkable, and beloved by his players. I mean, not just, you know, beloved, and that's I think that's a really awesome thing, and I think it's a great representative of Boston College. That's what Boston College is all about. You know, it's all about the relationships and the development, and so, you know, they hit a home run with Coach York for sure.
Well, going in the Hall of Fame there on November 18th up in Toronto, so.
Oh, wow, Toronto. That's where my daughter just moved to. Maybe we'll have to go up there. Yeah, she's in Toronto right now. I've never been. I know they got great, some of the best Italian food you've ever seen, a great Italian section in Toronto. Pretty jacked up about that right now. So maybe we'll go have Italian food and go watch Jerry get inducted. And
there you go.
They'll make for
see our grand dog and our daughter and son-in-law. And it's a good weekend.
Makes for a good weekend, absolutely. Yeah. Do you find yourself in every stop you've been kind of tapping into some coaches for their philosophies in terms of how they deal with their teams?
Yeah, I mean, when I come across coaches I have a great respect for and the way they run their program, their staying power, their character, that's when you pay really close attention to it, you know. And there are those individuals out there, and there's a reason why they're so successful, you know. So they're great people to pay attention to and follow.
And you look at Satterfield coming up with Louisville, a coach that's developing his program, our keys to the game. Louisville's 2-2. Tough loss opening night to Notre Dame. They beat the directional schools, Eastern Kentucky, Western Kentucky, and they lost to Florida State. Coming off a bye week, what does that mean, you think, for them?
Well, I mean, what it usually means is you're going to have a fresh team. They're home. They're off a bye week. And that means you're probably going to see some wrinkles that you haven't seen before. You know, and that's always ducky when you're, you know, a little bit young on defense. So we got to just, you know, prepare the best we can for what we think will possibly be those wrinkles. But in the same breath, I feel like we were kind of hitting our stride last week, you know. So, you know, I like that too, you know. And we just got to go on the road, which, you know, I think sometimes, you know, we're on the road and we handle that well. And we're just going to have to play well early. They're explosive. You said it. They're like whatever they are in the conference now, rushing. I mean, you know, there's no shortage of explosive plays. So we've been in some wars, you know, and I think that I'm hoping that's going to pay some dividend. But we've got to continue to improve, no doubt about it.
Now, you had a compliment. I saw us each week you kind of hear the same thing, same mantra coming from the opposing coaches, that the BC style is extremely difficult to prepare for. Yeah. The physical, multi-tight ends, power back, power running, downhill. And we hear it, but to hear it from your competition that it's a difficult week to prep, you know, it's got to be encouraging for you. The team struggle to prepare for you guys.
Well, yeah, I mean, because just look at the fact that I'm watching the tape trying to see teams like us play against them. I can't find them. So, you know, like last week we spent an awful lot of time trying to simulate Wake Forest because they're unique and different. And I think, you know, the benefit that, you know, Louisville has is they've had a bye week to do that. You know, you'd love to catch them on a short week like that. But we are probably different than the average bear in college football.
Yeah.
But yet, you know, in the same breath, we have a lot of multiplicity. I mean, we can run the spread runs, the spread options, we have a big, we run a lot of similar type of plays as the Rams with the bunches and the 2x2 and 3x1 bunches and the naked game and sprint out game. So, you know, hopefully we can present some problems. But the moral of the story is I feel confident, and I can tell you that people respect the fact that our program is, you know, is going to be fundamentally sound and tough. But the only thing I worry about is, like, you know, people say they don't want to play us, but you know, we don't want to just beat them up. We want to win. You know what I mean? You know, sometimes you beat them up, that's great. You know, and that helps the next week's opponent. But we got to beat them up and win. And you know, that means, you know, when we have our opportunities to score more points, we've got to handle that, and that means we got to get off the field. And that's all part of it. But you know, the object is to have more points than the opponent does at the end of the game. So that's what I'll be concerned about.
Anthony Brown through five games, where is his report card headed?
Well, I think Anthony played his best game on Saturday, in my opinion. You know, I think there's, like all of us, coaches and players alike, we have room to grow and develop, and I think he has room in there. I think, but I thought that the bulk of his work was much more consistent. I liked his look. I liked his leadership. And I think he's got a chance to play his very, very best game this week.
We're looking forward to it. Should be another good one. BC and Louisville coming up on Saturday at 12:30. Coach, great job.
Right,
always
John,
a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks, Coach.
Very special thanks to Jerry York, our special guest. Also, Jason Baum, Paul Criscione, and the Gridiron Crew. He's Pete Cronin. Pete, we won't be here next week. You can come by
I
anyway.
I might be by.
For the bye week, we will not be here.
I might
Maybe you and I
in.
Will meet here anyway.
Jerry and I are going to meet.
Maybe
talk.
Break bread.
Maybe do an interview. Who knows?
Maybe. Bye week next week. We'll be back again on the next Monday night, October 14th. So we look forward to that. This is the BC Football Show. Have a great week, everybody. Good night from Donahue's in Watertown.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.